As I've moved along in my journey of this faith, I've become more convinced that God has a great sense of humor. And last night it was enough to put me over the top. It's a confirmed belief of mine now. But I know, I love to hear people laugh, don't you? I love to hear a baby laugh. There's just something that's liberating about that. And there is a freedom in great humor that just kind of touches our humanity and makes us forget all the troubles of the world for a while, and we can laugh and smile. Bill is not leaving because I'm going to talk about humor. He warned me ahead of time that he had to leave. We just appreciate him being here last night, and he has to spend time now with his son. But at any rate, God has a great sense of humor. And I was convinced also, my wife and I, we went to West Virginia, you know where that is, of course, last week to visit my sister. And we left on Tuesday morning, and I have to tell you, it was two of the most beautiful days we've had this spring. We worried about the weather. But I did get to spend time with my sister and with my son. And on Thursday morning, we started our drive back home. And we knew it was going to rain that day. We just didn't know how much it was going to rain that day. So here we are. It's 5.5-hour trip, and we're driving, leaving West Virginia. It begins to rain on the turnpike. And we have places picked out where we stop at rest stops. Not everywhere. Thank God for McDonald's. We've got them all numbered, and we know where they are. But at any rate, we're driving along, and we get to the first rest stop, and we say, well, it's raining too hard. We cannot get out of this car and run in that rain into the restroom. And so let's go to the next one. And so that was happened to be about 2 more hours away. So we get to the next one, and it is raining. We were driving like under a waterfall. It was the thunder and the lightning, I'm telling you. And after all these storms down south, we were very much aware of this, but we couldn't get anything on the radio because of crackling and snapping and so forth. So we went by that rest stop. And you know, when you get older, these become very important things. So the next rest stop was about 2 more hours away. And so here we are driving along, and it just, the rain would not let up. And my wife said to me, you know something? I am going to pray and ask God to give us just a little window of time that we can get into the restroom and get back in the car. And I laughed about that. I thought, and I said to her, you've got to be kidding me. Do you think the omnipotent God is going to change the laws of nature so we'll have 10 or 15 minutes to go to the restroom and then start it up after we get back in the car? And I chattered about it. She said, well, that's going to be my prayer anyway. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're driving along, and we come to this rest stop that had been remodeled. And we pull on that lot, and so help me, the rain absolutely stopped. I mean, not a drizzle, was not a drop coming down. And so we get out of the car, we run in there, you know, and we're coming out and got back. By the way, I walked my dog for 5 minutes. That's the much shortest walk he's ever had in his life, too. But after we came out, and my wife was gloating about this time, you know, and I said, I'm not going to worry about storms anymore. You've got control over nature. And so she said to me, you know, sweetheart, did they have any urinals on your side of the restroom? And I said, no, come to think of it, they didn't have any. And you already get the point. And she said, well, you know, on my side, where I always go, the women go to right, men go to left, she said, there were urinals. And she had gone into the men's restroom, and I'd gone into the woman's restroom. And I'm telling you, we laughed about that for 10 more miles. Well, you know, humor is a great thing, and I believe God. When I drove off of that lot and it started raining hard again, I think God kind of smiled and said, never doubt the power of prayer again in your life, Grant. In 1997, I went to a church of growth a workshop in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I should say North Carolina. And at that workshop in 1997, Cliff Barrels was there. Do you remember him? He is the song leader for the Billy Graham Crusades. And he also would sell the items that Billy Graham was selling. But he would direct those choirs, sometimes about 80 or 90,000 people, choirs from all over Charlottesville were there. at one of his crusades. So here we are at this workshop just for ministers. And Cliff Barrows was there. And we all had known that his wife had been sick and had passed away. And he was not on the program for that night, but the narrator said, Cliff, would you just like to come and share with us a moment or two of what's going on in your life? And so he did come up, and he said, this has been the most miserable and heart-rending 3 years of my life. And he said, he began to describe how he had been with his wife hands-on for 3 years and watched that cancer get stronger and stronger and stronger, and the sense of helplessness, there's nothing you could do about it. And finally, she passed away and died. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God is not going to take us out of that particular valley. Sometimes we don't make it to the other side. In the 23rd Psalm, that writer made it out of the valley. But sometimes God's people in sickness do not make it out of the valley. And Cliff Barrows, he began to talk about this. And at a point he said, I didn't realize how dark that valley could be. And sometimes that valley is very, very dark. But sometimes God comes to us in that valley. You know, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and there will be a point, whether it's in the valley or on the other side of the valley, I will come and I will receive you to myself. And that's what he did with Cliff Barrows' wife. He took her home out of that dark valley to the Father's house. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, we should bear in mind that we always live in the shadow of death, don't we? Always we live in the shadow of death. But we thank God for the great comforter who comes to us in our valleys. And we have the great comfort of knowing that if we don't make it through that valley, that the grace of God will find us in that valley and take us to be in the Father's house. How many times have I heard someone say about a loved one they had lost, I'm glad she didn't have to suffer anymore, that God took her home out of the suffering. And how many times have we heard people say with great praise, thank God I made it through the valley to the other side. Well, the writer of the 23rd Psalm, he made it through the valley. And here is God who had been with him, his rod and staff, and comforted him in that valley. And now this pilgrim, he stands out there in God's sunshine. He had come out of the darkness, probably hungry and probably malnourished, and probably just weary and worn out. But now he stands, having come through that valley, out there in the sunshine. And what does God do? God says it's time to celebrate. It's time to have a party. It's time to laugh. It's time to praise God. It's time to let loose and just thank God that we made it out of the valley. And you talk about the other party that's going to occur in heaven one day for all of us. That will really be a party in that place. But here, getting through this earthly valley, God says, you know, I am going to prepare a meal for you. I'm going to get it ready, and we're going to gather around this table, and we're going to sing, and we're going to make merry, and we're going to be glad. I was in Washington, D.C. in 1945 on May the 7th when it was announced that the Germans had unconditionally surrendered, and victory in a Europe Day had come. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget that. There's tens of thousands of people poured out of those buildings into the streets. The cars stopped. The trolleys couldn't go anywhere. People were hugging each other, kissing each other, and dancing with each other. It was party time because this country had been through a long, long, long dark valley. 200 million civilians lost their lives. Tens of thousands of our young men and women shed their blood. But it was over now, and it was time that we had a party and celebrate that victory. I believe in celebration and in parties like that. A schoolboy was asked one time, well, what do you think God is like? And he thought for a while and he said, well, as far as I can determine, God is someone who's always snooping around trying to see if anyone's having any fun and putting a stop to it. But would it surprise you to know that there are a lot of adults who never think of God as smiling and laughing? And there's some so theologically hung up on God as a God who knows how to suffer. God is one who suffered on the cross. He was a man acquainted with grief, full of sorrow, and that sort of thing. And they somehow can't understand there are times even when God will laugh and have a party. I believe in the God who does suffer and knows how to weep. I believe in a God who is acquainted with our grief. But I also believe in a God who laughs and who has a laughing heart. Think of the prodigal son. You know this story well. Thank God we know some of these stories. We always derive spiritual power and strength from them. But the prodigal son lost in the far country. It lost it all. Everything. And he remembered the father's house, came to his senses and began to make that journey back to the father's house, going in a different direction. The father sees him coming. And he'd been praying for him all this time, hoping and longing for the day that he'd see his son walk up that road. And he ran to meet him. And the prodigal wanted to pray a little prayer. Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. And you know the story. The father, and Jesus is telling this story, God is like this. He threw his arms around this young boy, this son from the far country, and he hugged him. And he said, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party and bring shoes and put on his feet and a ring to put on his finger. And we're again, the scripture says, Jesus told the story, let's laugh, let's drink, and be merry. And they had a party. Jesus is talking about the heart of God here. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to God. Think about that. A God who rejoices when we come home. Or the one lost sheep. The 99 were in the fold, safe. And the shepherd knows there's one out there in the darkness that is lost. And so he decides to leave the 99 and goes out to find the one lost sheep, finds it, throws it across his shoulders. In the nighttime, comes back, and what does he do? He wakes up the whole neighborhood. This is my lost sheep. He said, let's have a party. It is time to rejoice. Amen and amen. I believe in a God who says to us every now and then, hey, you've had enough. It's time now to rejoice and to praise God and to have moments of gladness and happiness and fulfillment in spite of the enemy that's still there. Do you believe that? I believe that. And from this is a decisive turning point in this 23rd Psalm. Jesus said, God said, I'll get this meal ready. And from that point on, everything is celebration and gladness and praise and rejoicing. From that moment on, thou anointest my head with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is occupying the human heart, there are going to be moments of happiness and joy and gladness. You can always tell a church that has liberty is by the fact that every now and then they can laugh. I remember when I first went to the first church, and a lot of you people who still know me were there, and I told that first joke on my wife. No one laughed. And I'm not that bad of a joke teller. And so I finally had to say, look, my wife is a mature woman, and she understands this, and this doesn't hurt her feelings. And, you know, it took me a while to get that church to start laughing again. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Lois? But when a church begins to laugh, generally it means that the Holy Spirit is liberating the human heart so it can laugh and so it can celebrate. That is the forgotten side of our faith. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness shall follow me all. Notice the decisive turning point here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Talking about optimism, that is optimism. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. There is that forever word. Captain Howard Rutledge, a United States pilot, was shot down in 1965 over Vietnam. And he spent 7 years in prison. 7 years. He was in the same hotel called Hanoi Hotel. Same place that John McCain was in, had his arms broken, can't even lift his arms above shoulder level. But for 7 years, he was there in that prison. And when he got out of that, he wrote a book entitled, In the Presence of Mine Enemies. I read that book. And the story goes something like this. Here he is now, shot down, interrogated, beaten, severely beaten, more than one time, many times, and a lot of times in solitary confinement for 7 years. He left his wife and 2 kids back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 2 boys and a wife. They didn't even know if he was alive. They just got a notice saying he was missing in action. And he wondered if they knew where he was. And he spent a lot of time in those solitary confinement moments thinking about his past. And he desperately tried to remember the scripture he had learned as a Baptist boy in a Baptist church. And in his pain and in his coldness and his hunger, he just couldn't focus on scripture. He could remember the Lord's Prayer and part of the 23rd Psalm. And one night he was sitting in the prison and a ferocious storm came up and began to lash and pelt that prison and beat on it. And he's sitting there and suddenly a hymn from his childhood he remembered. There shall be showers of blessing. And he began to remember that hymn taken from Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Father above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I'm only doing this because of guys. I've got to do one up on these guys from last night. But you know something, sitting there in that prison, he recalled then that entire psalm based on a promise of God in the Old Testament. And do you know something? Before the 7 years were out, he had memorized 120 hymns that were connected to the scripture of God. And he put them together. And by those things, he was having a table spread in the presence of the enemy. Power and strength through music and songs connected to the living word of God. And whatever prison you're in, there is the way out. There is infinite intrinsic power in opening your heart to the inspired word of God. And let his love find you. And you know, he made a vow while he was in prison. He said, there are 3 things. I'll never be cold again. I'll never be hungry again. And I'll never be without my Bible again. It's all in the book. And he said, Lord, if I make it out of here, the first thing I do when I get back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm going to take my family and I'm going to go to church. His wife had begged him to go to church with her, but he always found a reason not to go. But he said, Lord, if I get home, I am going to take my 2 kids and I am going to take my Bible and we are going to go to church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the first Sunday that I'm there. And he kept that promise. And the church, they knew he was coming. They walked in, the people stood, and they applauded. And it was laughter. This son they'd prayed for 7 years. He's home now. What a party they had that day. It's as if God said, it is time to celebrate. This is my son from the dark valley. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, you come to us in so, so many different ways, Heavenly Father, and perhaps, and it is my prayer, that you have spoken to our hearts this morning, and that we have felt a sense of your liberating presence, and that we can leave this place, Father, not forgetting these moments, but let these moments structure our lives in faith and hope and love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, amen and amen.